This program is made possible by the friends and partners of Unspeakable Joy.
I want you to take your Bible and go to the book of Matthew chapter 28 tonight. And I want to answer a question by the help of the Lord on what do we do now that Jesus is alive? The Gospel of Matthew is an interesting book. It has a few verses here that go beyond the resurrection. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 28, I want to read in verse number 8. Matthew chapter number 28 and verse number 8. The Bible says, "And they departed quickly from the sepulcher with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, All hail. They came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then said Jesus unto them, Be not afraid. Go and tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me." I often feel like Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, is a whole lot like the roller coaster as it clicks up, clicks up, clicks up, and it takes that first huge dip. And at the end of the ride, you get to the end of it and you say inside of you, "Now, I don't ride roller coasters anymore. Number one, because I'm the main source of income and insurance," and you just don't do stuff like that when you become the main source. Back when I did, I remember getting to the end of those roller coasters, and I used to say, "Well, that was short. What now?" Easter feels a whole lot like that to me. It's that big Sunday in the church. It's that Sunday when it's easiest to preach. It's that Sunday when it's easiest to sing, and everybody's excited about being tapped to participate. It's my Sunday to sing, or it's my Sunday with the choir. I get to preach. That is the best Sunday. That's kind of like that's the creme de la creme, as they say. But after you get to the end of the Resurrection Sunday, what now? See, a lot of times in church, we get people to the empty tomb, but we never take them out of the empty tomb. We get them just inside of the Arimathean's tomb to see that it's empty, but then we don't show them the way back out. We don't show them what to do when they leave. I feel a lot of times we're no better than the Pharisees. All we've got are our orthodoxies and our deep theologies and our deep doctrines. And here comes Jesus along in the life of the Pharisees, and they're teaching about the depth of the prayer shawl. And Jesus comes. He says, "Consider the birds of the air." He said, they cannot fall to the ground except God notices every one. And God that sees the falling sparrow, He sees the needs of your life. You see, that's the kind of religion that Jesus came down from heaven to give to the people. And I feel like too many times Resurrection Sunday, we take the people just far enough and we never answer the question, "Yes, Jesus is alive, but now what?" That's not fair. That's not fair to the people. That's not fair to the world. That's not fair to the cause of Christ. That we don't tell people why it matters and what they're to do with the resurrected Christ. That's kind of like teaching a youngin' how to make a pound cake and then setting it before them and not letting them eat. It's not right. Brothers and sisters, you need to be reminded that the Bible that you hold in your hand, those scriptures you have on your phone, the words that the preachers preach, they are not about a dead God, they're about a living God. That's what we preached about this morning. Therefore, if you have a living God, He expects a living life. Not just a life that's operated in the realm of me being awake, but in the form of me actually doing something with the life that the life has given inside of me. God expects me to live a resurrected life in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what happened to these women. The Bible tells us that there are three women according to the Gospel of Mark. There are these three women that would come back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. There was Mary Magdalene. Then there was the other Mary. And then there was a woman whose name was Joanna. And these three women would go back and forth. Now, we don't know exactly how many would have come and gone that morning, but we do know at this moment that there were two women that went to the tomb on that resurrection morning. And as they go down to the tomb, they went with despair. But when they went back to the city of Jerusalem, they had hope and they had power and they had a message inside of them that would change them forever and ever. And I'm begging God to make the people of God in this church and in this county and in this state and in this nation once again like that, where they may come in dismal, they may come in discouraged, they may come in down, but what they get inside of the house of God because of the Spirit of God, using the Word of God to penetrate their spirit, that they would leave here with power and with unction and with authority and with the strength of heaven burning inside of them, and their hearts would burn as a spiritual heart burn inside of them, and they would say, I've got to do something and I've got to tell somebody that which is inside of me. If it doesn't come out, it's going to be like a geyser, and I'm going to be like a pressure cooker that hadn't been allowed to let off the steam, and I'm going to explode if God doesn't get this out of me. I'm praying that you do something with that resurrected Christ. You say, preacher, what do we do now that we know Jesus is alive? Four little things. Write them down. I want you to understand them very quickly. Number one, the very first thing that you and I do is we rejoice. Look at what it says in verse number 9. Jesus said, and as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them saying, all hail. In the Greek, that phrase, all hail, it's one word. We would consider that a salutation. We would say when we walk into a room, we used to shake hands. In fact, that's what I was trying to do with Darren. I couldn't figure out why he was being so rude to me a second ago, but then I realized he was abiding by the law. But here's the way we used to greet people when they walk in. We'd say, how you doing? You look great. You feel good? Everything good with your mama? How's your mama's people? How's your wife's people? We say things like that. That's how we greet. But when Jewish people would meet and greet one another in the roadway, in a house, or in this case, in a tomb, in a garden setting, they greeted each other, and Jesus gave the common day salutation. He said, all hail. It's the Greek word kairo. Now here is what that phrase means. That phrase means this. They'd walk into a room and they'd look at one another and they say, be joyful, be happy. We don't greet each other like that, but we ought to start doing it. When I go to Biscuitville, I'm going to start telling those women, when they say, hey, how you doing? I'm going to say, get happy. Whenever people meet me in the roadway, I'm going to say, get happy. That's exactly what Jesus said. When those women went back and there's fear in their heart, and there's pain in their soul, they're walking out and they meet who they think is the gardener, and he looks at them in their eyeballs and he said, honey, get happy and rejoice. You say, preacher, how can we rejoice? Well, there's an interesting little tick. If you're watching this on TV, you're going to see this at the bottom of your screen. The word kairo, which means all hail or rejoice, it's got an interesting root. It's got the same root word as we get the word in our Bible, grace. The very first thing that Jesus looks at them and their minds would have been drawn to, he looks at them, as Paul said in almost all of his New Testament books, he looks at them and he says, grace be unto you. Now get this word picture. What did John say in the first chapter of the book of John? He said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. He said, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. He said, for the law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Now here's why Jesus greeted them in that garden way and said, be happy. I imagine inside of them the question was raised, how can we be happy? Here's why they can be happy. You know what had just walked out of that tomb? The living grace of God had just walked out of that that tomb, and now he said, child of God, I was nailed to that cross, but I am not dead anymore. You know what happened? What walked out of that grave? Life walked out of that grave. Hope walked out of that grave. Peace walked out of that grave. Love walked out of that grave. Everlasting life walked out of that grave. But the greatest thing that walked out of that grave into their life, it was the grace of God that walked out of that grave. I tell you right now, I can be happy in my soul. Coronavirus may walk up in my lungs. It may shut down every aspect of my body. But though sickness decay my body and death take my body, there's not a demon or a devil in hell that can rip the grace of God out of my soul. And I glory in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, knowing that my sins are forever forgiven and they're forever gone, forever cast into the sea of God's forgetfulness. And that's why the first thing the child of God ought to do is rejoice in the Lord God of heaven. How many people are tired and sick of being sick and tired of seeing mully grub believers? One day when all this coronavirus passes, I'm going to meet me a mully grub believer. I'm going to kiss them right in the mouth in Jesus' name and watch them get happy. I'm tired of sad believers. I'm tired of upset believers. I'm tired of down and out believers. We've got the grace of God flowing in our hearts. You say, what is grace? Let me give you a redneck version of grace. It's God didn't give to you what you deserve, and he gave to you what you did not deserve. What did I deserve? I deserve death, and I deserve hell. But on that cross beam on the side of Golgotha Scully Hill, Jesus took my death, and he took my hell. And in that same transaction, I did not deserve life and I did not deserve peace. But in that same transaction where he took my death and hell, he gave me life and he gave me peace. And on that Pentecost morning, honey, he gave me Holy Ghost power to do the work of the ministry and to preach the word of the gospel. And today I can be happy when I don't feel good, and I can be happy when I do feel good. I can be happy when I'm down, and I can be happy when I'm up. I can be happy when I'm not feeling good, and I can be happy when I feel great. Do you know why? Because there's nothing on this earth, there's nothing in this life that can ever take away the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ out of my heart. I'm forever saved, and Muhammad didn't give it to me, and Buddha didn't give it to me, and the government didn't give it to me, and the stimulus didn't give it to me, and the Republicans didn't give it to me, and the governor didn't give it to me. It was given to me by God the Father, and nobody can take it. It flowed down from heaven. It went down by the way of the cross, and it flowed into my soul. And inside of me right now is a river of living water that's a flowing inside of me. Therefore, the child of God, we have a resurrected Christ, and we need to rejoice and be happy. Now, I've got to ask a question. Why are God's people so down, discouraged, and out about everything? That's an easy answer, but hard to do something about. We've got our tent poles so deep in this world, and all we can see are the things around us. But when God sends the wind like he sent it here lately, you know what it does? It blows our little tent of existence in this life over. And we get outside of that tent, we lift our eyes up to heaven, and we say, God, what are your ways? God, what are your thoughts? God, what are your ideas? Preacher, what do I do? The very first thing you do with the resurrected Christ is you rejoice in the fact that God's grace fills your heart and it fills your life. And the same power that resurrected Jesus Christ from the dead, according to Romans chapter number 8, is going to raise me up on that resurrection morning, and he which was dead. Lord God, I can't get off of this point. You know what they said about the Lord Jesus Christ in Brother John's revelation? This is what he said. He said, behold, I'm he that liveth and was dead, but I'm alive forevermore. As I get up on that resurrection day and I ascend up into the clouds, as I make my way into God's blue tomorrow, you know what they're going to say? They're going to say, who is that that's skipping and dancing and jumping across the Milky Way into the pearly white gates of God? This is what they'll say. That's him that was dead, but behold, he's alive forevermore. And God, his Savior, has the keys of death and hell in his life. It's him. It's him. It's the one that has resurrection. I just ought to get mighty happy about that. Number two, You say, preacher, what do we do with the resurrected Christ? Number one, we rejoice. Number two, we cling. Notice what it says in verse number 9. Jesus met them saying, all hail. And they came and, watch what it says, they held him by the feet. That phrase, held him by the feet, it has the idea of wrapping your arms double around somebody and not letting them go. Now, my babies aren't babies like they used to be. And they don't run to me like they used to unless I bring them something when I get back home. Now, I've learned the game. Now, I'm not a con man, but I know how to play the game with my youngins. If you want them to give you attention, you got to buy them something. I know that's not right, but it works. And I'll call them. I'll FaceTime my little Mason. And I'll say, Bubba, I got you a surprise when I get home. And I'll tell Ella, I got you a surprise when I get home. I've been away, but I got you a surprise. And man, I walk in that door, and honest, I mean like lightning bolts out of another world. Here comes Hurricane Mason, and here comes Cyclone Ella. I mean, they converge on me, and they say, what do you got, what do you got? I mean, they're bouncing like they ain't took the Ritalin in 15 weeks. I mean, they're bouncing. And all of a sudden, I'll say, you know what? You got to give me a hug before I give you your toy, before I give you your prize. And when they hug me like that, I mean, that's not just a regular how you doing hug. I mean, that little Ella, she takes those scrawny little arms. She wraps them around my leg. At Mason, I mean, he's a horse, honey. I mean, he's an ox in a little boy's body. He takes him arms and he wraps them around my waist. And before I know it, they're squeezing so tight, I cannot get air down to my toenails. I'm dying. But you know what they're doing? They're clinging to me. That's what they said about Jesus. They'd seen him die on that cross. They'd seen him die in that place. But do you know what they did when he was alive? This is what they did. They said, Jesus, we lost you one time. We're not losing you again. We lost you one time. We're not going through that again. Brothers and sisters, can I tell you what this thing has done in my heart? I've lost a whole lot of things in this. I've lost a whole lot of time fellowshipping with other believers. I've lost a whole lot of time being able to preach the gospel. I've lost a whole lot of time being able to be around people. But I promise you this, when I get back together, I will cherish every moment of it. I'll cherish every second of it. When I'm back around my family, I'll cherish every ounce of it. But here is what we need to do in this day. We need to cling as tight as we can to the Word of God. I want to read my Bible more today than I've ever read my Bible. I want to pray more than I've ever prayed. I want to love more than I've ever loved Him. I want to walk in His ways more than I've ever walked in His ways. I want to cling to Him with every fiber of my being. When I wake up, I want to think about Him. When I go to bed, I want to think about Him. When I wake up in the middle of the night, I want Him to be the first thing on my mind. I want Him to be so close that I can smell Him. I want Him to be so close I can feel the scars on His back. I want Him to be so close I can feel His beard. I want Him to be so close I can see the scars in His feet. I want Him to be so close that I smell the rose of Sharon. I want to be so close that I smell the honey from Canaan land. I want to be so close, so like Him, so melted into His image that I cling to Him evermore. We've got a resurrected Christ. Why then do we live like our God never existed? Jesus said, what are you doing? They said, Jesus, we're never letting you go again. He said, we got things to do. We got places to be. I got to send you somewhere. But they said, Jesus, we're not letting you go. Preacher, what do I do with a resurrected Christ? You walk closer to Him today than you ever have. You make a covenant with God that you're going to read His Bible more than you've ever read it. You make a covenant with God, you're going to spend more time praying. You make a covenant with God, turn the TV off. After you get done watching the things that you need to watch by way of the news and preachers on TV, don't even watch the other preachers. Just watch the ones that are worth shooting. Don't watch these guys that take all your money. You watch the ones that preach the gospel to you. Then turn that mess off. Get off social media. Get off YouTube. Get off all that mess and cling tight to the Lord Jesus Christ. We rejoice. We cling. thing. Number three, notice what it says in verse number 9. Watch what they did. The Bible says Jesus met them saying, all hail. They came and held him by the feet and worshiped. You do realize that the church of Jesus Christ is the only place that assembles together where their leader actually hears what they say. Our founder of the Christian religion is the only one that actually hears what we sing to him. He's the only one that actually listens to messages. He's the only one that actually hears the songs. He's the only one that ever sees what we play and hears how we play. You see, our God is alive. Therefore, our worship ought to be alive. Our worship ought to be full of fire. Our worship ought to be full of life. Everything about Him, it ought to flow. The beginning of our song ought to flow with worship, and it ought to go to worship. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know how to worship God like I ought to. I don't know how to praise Him like I ought to. I wish I did. I wish I knew how to pray like I should. I wish I knew how to read my Bible like I should. But I do know this, the one that I serve and the one that I worship, He knows the depths of my heart. And He says, child, I still forgive you. I know your heart is wicked, but I know the Holy Ghost is doing a work inside of you, and He receives my worship because it's mingled with the power of the Spirit of God. And like a sweet smelling savor, it rises up off of this earth. I'll tell you what I want to be known for. I may not be known as the richest man. I may not be known as the smartest man. I may not be known as the greatest man. But if I go down to my grave and my youngins walk past my casket and say, my daddy knew how to worship God, and my daddy knew how to get a hold of God, and my daddy knew where to go when times got tough, and every morning when I woke up, he was down on his knees or reading his Bible, and every day he was reading that Bible and he was talking to his Savior, and my daddy in church wasn't afraid to give. My daddy in church wasn't afraid to pray. My daddy in church wasn't afraid to worship. My daddy, he knew the God that he served. I pray that people will say that. They'll say he was not much. He was not great. But he knew the God he served, and he was not afraid to worship. Brothers and sisters, why in the world do our churches resemble funeral homes if our Savior has no funeral? Why do church services resemble dead religion? Now, I'm not talking about foolishness. I'm not talking about junk where people are... That's a bunch of junk. I have no time for all that mess. I'm talking about where people know that who they're talking to and who they're singing about and who they're preaching about is hearing what they say. That is what a resurrected Christ will do for us. But there's a fourth word, and I want you to see it in verse number 10. The Bible says, then Jesus said unto them, be not afraid. Here it is. Go tell my brethren. What does a child of God do? That's easy. We go tell that He's alive. We go tell our friends. We go tell our family. We go tell our loved ones. I'm not talking about this foolish mess where we can brag about how many people we've passed track. That's foolishness. That's pride. That's sinful pride. I'm not talking about where we can say we hung out 5,000 door knockers. That's pride. But I'm talking about the fact that the person in the cubicle beside us, right now, people that are on Facebook, people that are watching, have you said anything to anybody on Facebook that Jesus is alive and that He's your Savior? Here's my question. Who have we told? If God were to examine your heart and my heart over the last 72 hours to the last 7 days, is there anybody we've told about? I'm not talking about your neighbor. What about your youngins? What about your unsaved wife, your unsaved husband? I'm not even talking about going across the street. I'm talking about your kids. Have you texted them and just said, I just want you to know, I'm praying for you. I'm praying that God will help you this week. What about your neighbor right now that needs groceries? What about your neighbor right now that is an elderly person. They're not saved and they're running. Have you or I even stopped for a minute to tell them Jesus is really alive? How do I do this? Somebody texted me last night, Scott. That's what they said. How do I tell somebody? I thought. See, I went to college and they teach you all these routines and mechanisms and methodologies, and they're good. But I have figured out the best way to witness. I have figured out the best way to win somebody to God. Number one, go with the purpose of not winning them, but giving God glory. When you go and you say, God, whether I win them or whether I don't, I want you to be glorified. That's your first step. Second step, this is hard, but it's the easiest thing we'll ever do. You take the step and God will give you the words. You take the step and God will give you the words. You say, how do I open the conversation? I don't have any idea. I don't know your neighbors. I don't know your kids. I don't know your family. But you take the first step. You pick up the phone and you dial it. You pick up the phone and start texting. You get on Facebook and start typing. I don't understand it. But I'm telling you, when you take the step of faith to glorify God, the reason God doesn't help so many of us is because we do that with pride in our hearts so that we can say we did it. God's not in that. But you stop and you say, God, I want to help my kids. Lord, I want to help my husband. I want to help my wife. I want to tell them about Christ. Will you just receive glory? Lord, I don't know what to say. And all of a sudden, the Holy Ghost will come upon you. The power of the Spirit of God will come into your heart. And all of a sudden, it's as if the fountains, the filing cabinet of your mind will begin to roll. People say all the time, preacher, how do you do? It's not about a methodology. It's about being so close to Jesus and loving Him so much that when He whispers in your ear, you can hear every word He says. If you pass out tracts, God bless you. But don't pass them out to tell people how many you passed out. If you knock on doors, God bless you, but don't do that. Just to tell, listen, we've got too much pride. I'm not the one that resurrected myself. I didn't bring myself up out of the grave, and neither did you. This is not about Tyler. It's about Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Preacher, what do I do? Jesus is alive. Now what? Go be happy. Rejoice that the grace of God flows to your life. Number two, get as close to Him as you can. Number three, you worship Him. You tell Him how wonderful He is tonight. And number four, you pick up your phone. So as soon as this broadcast is over, and you tell somebody, I just want you to know Jesus is alive and He loves you and so do I. You set out to give God glory by telling somebody about Christ, God will give you the power every time. God will give you the strength every single time.